third switch. Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Is my creation! Life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. Six. Five. Four. Three. Two. One.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
Country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there. Yes, indeed, you are listening to the Guy James Show, the one and only Guy James, coming to you from the beautiful blue waters and sandy beaches of Southwest Florida, Naples, Fort Myers area. Welcome to the show. So good to have all of you along with us this afternoon. We do appreciate your listenership. Indeed, we do. Ah, yes. What a day. What a day it is. A beautiful day here in Southwest Florida. We probably get a little rain in a while, but around 80 degrees, 81 or so. We had terribly hot weather for a while, and it's a pleasure to have some cooler weather now. Let me see. I've got all the dials and buttons and switches here working right. I think I do. Let me know if they're not. That's one nice thing about having a interactive audience. They can let you know in a moment's notice, hey, things aren't going right. Hey, I want to apologize for yesterday. Well, I don't know if I want to apologize. I got a ton of email yesterday, and it seemed kind of odd to me that just practically everybody that listened, except for a couple of righties that I regularly hear from, agreed with everything we had to say yesterday. And let me tell you a little bit about yesterday. Yesterday was one of those days where I woke up in the morning and honestly, and I'm not the sickly type, honestly, I thought I had the flu. It's really hitting hard here. You know, all those northerners are coming down here and bringing it with them. And I actually thought I had it. I had, you know, the sniffles and a headache and just felt terrible. So I actually took a nap in the morning and show prep wasn't what it ought to be. And I decided that, well, we're going to do a show. We told everybody we're going to do a show. We can't not do a show. So we went on yesterday anyway, and what you heard was pretty much an hour and 45 minutes of preaching from yours truly, from whatever came to mind. And a lot did come to mind, and I bared my soul on a lot of things, I know. But anyway, I want to thank everybody that sent email. Those of you that said you agreed with everything I said, I usually don't get email like that. A lot of people, you know, a lot of times they'll write and say, hey, you dumb, I didn't like what you said about this or that. Well, I didn't hear that yesterday. So it must have been all right after all. A lot going on in the news, of course. We have the healthcare battle raging along as it has been doing for quite some time now. I did want to mention we have Sarah Palin, you know, and one of my favorite subjects. She really is. Her book has come out, I guess, number one. Before it's number one on the bestseller list before it even came out. Called Going Rogue, An American Life. Sarah Palin, like anybody, well, I guess somebody would care, but it's fascinating to me that this book hasn't come out yet. I think it has a it's got a $34.95. Or no, that's not true. $28.95. Yeah, $28.95 price on it. And it's at the top of the bestseller list. Hasn't been released yet, but there have been so many orders, they say. They, you know, though. I could get a T-shirt that says they on it. That she's at the top. I went past the Ted Kennedy book, and wait a minute, ranked number two on Amazon because of the number of pre-orders. And some bloggers doubted the bestseller status of the book, and they said it would be strange because bookstores aren't reporting any special interest in the book, believe it or not, even in her home state of Alaska. And it was suspected that conservative groups, well, I always suspect conservative groups, when any right-winger brings a book out, the conservative book groups come a-running, and they buy the books by the thousands, by the tens of thousands. You did know that, most of you. All of my listeners know that. We keep you informed, and you make yourselves informed. It's not that I bring everything to your attention. You already know a lot of this. But it is suspected that conservative groups were trying to make the book look like a bestseller by pre-ordering huge quantities of it that they would later sell cheaply or give away, as they always do. Mark Levin's book, who else? Well, any right-winger that brings out a book, it sells immense numbers. Glenn Beck right now. And, of course, this wouldn't be the first book by a right-winger that was propped up in this way by some sort of organizational buying, and it makes it look like the public is excited by these right-wing authors. And it's also a nice backhanded way to funnel money to the supposed authors. And in that case, she is the supposed author. Getting money to them. Well, it's beginning to look like the people that doubted this were right, and I doubted it all along, and the giveaway has already started. The right-wing magazine, Town Hall, evidently ordered a few thousand copies, and they're offering to give a free copy of Palin's book to anyone who will pay $34.95 to subscribe to their slanted little magazine. And they aren't alone. Newsmax has jumped into the fray also. These right-wing nut jobs offer two different options now. Pay attention for getting the book. Option one, they'll sell you the book for just $8.95 plus shipping and handling. Huh? It's a book that was selling for mid-$20, and it's down to $8.95 already. And they'll throw in a free four-month subscription to their magazine, Newsmax. Huh? Such a deal. And then they've got a second option that costs a little bit more. But the Palin book is free, you see. That's right. It's a freebie. Just like going to McDonald's and getting a Happy Meal. You got a little toy in there. Subscribe to their magazine for $49.95, and they'll send you the book as a booby prize. Booby prize. So, the long and the short of it is, I seriously doubt that these are the only two right-wing organizations that have been bulk buying the Palin book. If anybody really wants Palin's books, all they have to do is wait a while, and pretty soon these books will be cheaper than the local small-town newspaper here. These organizations try and dump these books any way they can once they get a hold of a bunch of them, and I don't think there'll be a huge reason to go out and make a second printing of them, do you think? No, I don't think so. And I was reading a fascinating story today. I don't know how many of you it will actually interest. I think maybe a lot of you. Fascinating to me because it's somewhat of a local story. You all remember Tom Moynihan of Domino's Pizza fame. He started the Domino's Pizza franchise and became a billionaire. And he's got a great big farm up outside of Ann Arbor, Michigan. I've been there. Yes, unfortunately, I have been to Ann Arbor, Michigan. But we won't go into football right now. It's kind of a sore subject with us Buckeye fans. Next year. Anyway, I'm trying to keep my chin up after us getting beaten by the likes of Purdue last weekend. Congratulations to the Boilermakers. It's just a game, huh? Oh, no, my poor Buckeye. Anyway, Tom Moynihan, he is filthy rich, and he bought the Detroit Tigers, and I was actually at the car auction in, over in Western Indiana. I can't think of the name of it all of a sudden. Where, anyway, I was there the day he bought, paid the record price for a vintage automobile, and I think it is still the record for an automobile. He bought a 1935 Bugatti Royale for $8 million, and there was a lot of excitement there. He had quite a collection of cars, but anyway, he got rid of the Tigers, he got rid of Dominoes, and, he got into religion. He's a Catholic, you know, and he says, he founded a law school up in Ann Arbor someplace, and he had a little law school, and he funded some other small Catholic school. I forget the name of it. But then he decided that wasn't good enough. He was going to build a university, and he was going to have it someplace where the state would agree not to interfere with him whatsoever, that he could actually have his own little fiefdom. And laws wouldn't apply that applied to, you know, to the campus that applied to every place else in the state. And naturally, a la Walt Disney, he got that done, and he got it done just down the road from where we are here, not very far, at a place, a little place called Immokalee, and it's south of there. They've got a big Indian casino in Immokalee, but it's just south of there. And he decided to name this Catholic university Ave Maria. And he had plans for this huge cathedral and all that, and he scaled them back. Anyway, he put a couple $100 million behind it, and he got his good buddy Anton Scalia involved and Robert Bork involved, and they were going to put in the world's premier law school. And it's really out in the middle of the swamp, and what he did, he got the Baron Collier family down here in Naples in Collier County, Florida, got them to donate 750 acres for this thing, and then they were going to split the profits of building a city and stores and all that. It was going to be a self-contained unit there. So they go about this, and they build it. It took a long time. It took them longer than they thought, and they finally have this Ave Maria University open down here and out in the middle of the swamp, and plans for the town aren't going so very well, and there was a big dust-up about the drugstore they put there, refusing to sell contraceptives of any kind because of the Catholic rules that Moynihan had put in place. And it's been in the news quite a bit, but now we're finding that the law school, he promised to build a $30 million law building, and it seems that Moynihan's foundation that he put up to fund this Ave Maria University has gone broke. And now the plans for the $30 million law building have been shelved, and they started the law classes recently in an old folks home. They bought an old folks home, true, and put in this law school. And anyway, they... Okay. I had somebody say they thought the stream was gone. We're okay. The stream is fine, actually. So Moynihan's law school isn't doing so well, and it turns out that the graduates from where they had it last year were among the bottom of all law schools in the United States, so it didn't hasn't fared too well so far. But he's a big-time Republican is the reason I brought that up. He's friends with Robert Bork and Anton Scalia. He flew Scalia to his farm in Ann Arbor, and they talked this whole thing over and had a meeting with Bork, and Bork agreed to be on the faculty of it, but he's not on the faculty of it now because it's somewhat disgraced since it's in an old folks' home. Why did I bring that up? I don't know. I just found it interesting. I've always found Tom Moynihan and his ventures to be very, very interesting, him buying the Detroit Tigers and selling them and then keeping his money and deciding. He said, I want to die broke. I want to give all my money to Catholic education. So that's a good thing. But some of his things aren't turning out so well, and some of the people that have worked for him have said that trouble is, the reason he's failing with this Ave Maria University is he thinks he can run it like a pizza parlor, and it doesn't quite work out that way. I did want to ask all of you, oh, and by the way, somebody asked me yesterday, and I'd be remiss if I didn't pass this along to you. We did speak yesterday of the confusion and just all the craziness that's gone on about the healthcare program. If you want a very good, cogent explanation of what is going on with the healthcare bill now and what they're going to do and what they're not going to do and all, go to whitehouse.gov, whitehouse.gov/reality check. And there you will find, I think, all you need to know about what is and is not going to be in this healthcare bill, what they want in it anyway. And it will dispel a lot of the rumors and myths that you've heard. And I don't know why the White House hasn't used this more than they have. I didn't find out about it until today. Whitehouse.gov/reality check. So you be sure and check that out. If you want to discuss the health care with your friends and neighbors, this would be a good place for you to go and bone up on all the details. It's all there, and it'll help you understand this. I know I had some questions about a few things that this helped clarify for me. I wanted to ask you, I was going to ask yesterday, and I got running off the head and talking about something else. Have you seen a lot of these bumper stickers popping up, stop socialism? Have you? They're all over the place here. Of course, this is a very conservative area. Collier County is like 2-1 Republican, and it isn't quite so bad in Lee County here. They're adjoining counties, Lee County being north of Collier County, Collier County being where Naples is, and Lee County being where Fort Myers is. But Collier County is just about 2-1, and Lee County not quite that bad, but it's pretty doggone Republican anyway, although Republicans seem to be dropping off the face of the earth. Have you noticed how many of your Republican friends who have been Republicans ever since you've known them, right? You know a lot of people like that. They've been Republicans ever since you can remember. All of a sudden, they're not Republicans anymore. They're conservatives or they're libertarians. I wonder if George Bush actually did that much damage to the party, or if they did that much damage to themselves over his tenure, that a lot of people just don't want to be associated, are they embarrassed to be associated with the Republican Party now? Is there going to be a big split, a so-called civil war within the ranks of the Republican Party? Will they split down the middle with the evangelicals and the hard right leaving, and the, you know, and the neocons, all them getting on one side and the more moderate Republicans getting on the other? I wonder. But it does seem odd to me that clear down around 20% now, only 20% of the people are identifying themselves as Republicans. So in that regard, you do have to wonder, after all the talk you've heard from the press in the past couple of months about President Obama's declining popularity and the Democrats' declining popularity, you do have to wonder now if that's true at all. I mean, I don't doubt that Obama's popularity has dropped, but it seems to me that the divide between those declaring themselves Republicans and those claiming to be Democrats has widened. So it could be that the Republicans, with all of this rhetoric that they've put out, with all the nasty things they've done, with all the abominable practices, and all of this being a party of no, seems to me they may have damaged themselves, and it seems to me they may have be causing an irreparable split in their party. And I hope that happens. I do hope that happens. They've been flirting with this for a long time, and you know the crazies out there. You've got the Glenn Becks, and of course they don't even claim to be the Becks and the Limbaughs and those people. They don't claim to be Republicans anymore. They're conservatives. They don't want to be identified. It's just like a sporting game. They don't want to be identified with losers. And let's face it, as a party right now, and I'm not throwing any halos around the Democrats' head. I'm not crowning them anything special right now because, I mean, if you listen to yesterday's program, you know I'm pretty disgusted with them as well. But the Republicans, this deal of becoming the party of no, behaving like children having tantrums. You've seen that. The children get down on the floor and start kicking their heels and screaming, and you can't get them stopped. That's the way the Republicans have behaved ever since the inauguration. They have voted no on everything. And you and I both know that no matter how much they despise Barack Obama, and they do, and no matter how much he is despised by the real right-wingers, and they do hate him, not everything he is doing could be wrong. But according to the Republican Party, everything he's done is wrong, and they have voted no on every last thing that has come up. And that's fairly unreasonable. Adults don't act that way. Serious adults don't act that way. And we touched upon this yesterday about the intelligent quotient of people in high places. I can tell you that it is a myth. It is an absolute myth that our elected officials, the people in the House and the Senate, are these necessarily these brilliant people with, great brain power, just smarter than the rest of us, and therefore they know better than we do for everything. That is a myth, especially if you sit and talk to some of them. You'll find out that many of them are just regular folks. I could list you a name of a group of them that I know that are, in fact, just regular folks with average intelligence. That's for sure. And like any other cross-section of America, there's some very intelligent people there, too. There's bound to be some. But don't go around with the myth that they would like to propagate, and they do propagate, that they're high and mighty and smarter than we are, and that's why they're running the country. Ain't necessarily so. Not at all. They're not smarter than everybody else. And they don't know how to run the country better than anybody else. And some of them better damn well learn how to run the country a little better here soon. Anyway, before I sidetrack myself here, and I don't know where I went wrong here, went off the path. These stickers on the cars. Stop socialism. They're lousy around here. They're everywhere. Stop socialism. Stop it now. I asked a guy and his wife that I know about their bumper sticker. I mean, I don't really know them. I know them to speak to them, say hi and all that. And I know their politics. But I saw them, they had the back of their car, that great big Stop Socialism, black with great big white letters and an asterisk at the end of it, displaying that proudly on the back of their PT Cruiser. And they've been hardcore Republicans all their lives. And so I asked them what this Stop Socialism bumper sticker means. Where did you get that bumper sticker, and what does that mean to you? And he asked me, he answered with a question that I really did expect, but I didn't expect it to be as totally ridiculous as it was. I knew it would be stupid, but it was knowing these folks and knowing that they voted for wanted Sarah Palin as president. You know, do I have to say more? That says it all right there, doesn't it? If anyone seriously wants Sarah Palin as the president of the United States, you don't have to wonder or guess another thing about their IQ. That's a fact, isn't it? You know that. So anyway, I asked him what that bumper sticker meant to him, and they said, do you want to be forced to speak Russian? Or wear a hammer and sickle on your clothing? Or maybe even be forced to say Heil Obama if he has his way? Honestly, Scout's honor. That's the answer I got. How do you answer that? Do you answer that? Or do you just smile and turn around and walk away because you know that anything that you would say in response to that, first of all, they would not accept because it's coming from somebody other than Glenn Beck or a Rush Limbaugh. But secondly, you know they could not accept anything that was intelligent at all. They couldn't process it. And anyone that wanted Sarah Palin as president, and everybody that's, that gives you an answer like, we don't want to be forced to speak Russian and wear a hammer and sickle and be forced to say Heil Obama if he has his way, anybody that thinks quite like that cannot process an intelligent answer. So I think the thing to do is probably just to politely say, okay, and smile, and turn around and walk away, and try and keep your guffaws to yourself as long as you can until you get away from that, their hearing. Oh, boy. It goes along with what I was saying yesterday. I'm feeling a little more lighthearted about it today than I was yesterday. I was in that mood yesterday. I am disgusted about the IQ of the average American these days. Seems like it is going down. The dumbing down of America is a fact. There isn't any question about it. And I think a lot of it has to do with TV. A lot of it probably has to do with the internet. A lot of it has to do with certain individuals and certain parties owning the media and having a monstrous advantage in the media like they do. I don't have to tell you that Rupert Murdoch is planning on expanding that gap as much as he possibly can, along with many others as well. And you hear from these people that are funded with millions and tens and hundreds of millions of dollars, the Heritage Foundation and all them. So this media onslaught from the right isn't going to stop anytime soon. And I hope you're not tired of hearing me preach about it, because I happen to believe that it is the number one thing wrong with political discourse in the United States today. It is the number one problem with causing the dumbing down of America. When you preach enough hatred and bigotry and racism and crazy, crazy neocon wild-ass ideas defending anything the military-industrial complex will do, and bashing the President of the United States, calling him Hitler, and the filthy things that they've done. You know, when you preach that 24/7 on tens and hundreds and thousands of media outlets across this country every single day, and there virtually is no rebuttal, and don't come back and tell me, well, you know, we got Ed Schultz and we got, you know, what's in it, Rachel and Keith. Okay, we got a little bit of a megaphone there, but not very much. And I'm sorry if I bore you with talking about this, but until that changes, and Bob and I have often talked about this, it sticks in our craw, as a lot of country folk would say. Until that's settled, until that divide is narrowed, until we level this playing field to where it's not upside down like it is right now, this will not stop. This dumbing down of America will continue, and it will get worse and worse and worse. And I'm not kidding. It will. So if you see anybody with those Stop Socialism bumper stickers, stop them and ask them, first of all, do they even know what socialism is? They might also want to find out that the hammer and sickle deal has kind of gone by the wayside now. And if anybody was going to force us to speak anything else, it wouldn't be the Russians. And I don't know, Heil Obama, that'd be kind of out of fashion, don't you think? I think they'd be more clever than that. So, I don't know. I thought about that one, and I did have some fun listening to that. I most certainly did. You know, We're going to talk about several things on the program today, and we'll end up talking about health care and all that. I got an email today from my friend Sputnik Weasel from London, and he's put out a new album of a cappella music. What's the one I like so much? I never can think of the name of it. New American Century. I think we played that yesterday. And Sputnik sent me some new music today for my perusal to let me know what I think about it. And I love his music. There's something haunting about it. There's always a good message in it. And it's a cappella. And as he likes to say, it's a cappella except for a little percussion here and there and playing anything he might be able to carry in his pocket. And so I think I'll play one of those for you, and we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Can't tell, baby, come with me, baby. Cook your leather with a homemade gravy. Hot banana, chocolate. What's the weather like up there, Canada? We sat together in a downtown bar where the fields and the daggers fly. We're all together by the dark, gonna make a mind, gonna make a mind, gonna make a mind. Sometimes loving, sometimes thinking, sometimes laughing, most time drinking. All my memory clouded over, with you the girl that I kissed in Dover. We sat together in a downtown bar where the fists and the daggers fly. We walked together by the dark, gonna make a mind, gonna make a mind, gonna make a mind. Gonna make a mind, gonna make a mind.
Hey, what'd you think of that? I liked it. I like Sputnik Weasel, I do. Been a cyber friend for quite a few years now. Hey, listen to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Really glad to be with you today. See that we've got a good audience listening. And let's do open up the phones, 866-546-5254. Our producer will answer the phones and put you online. Our producer being being me, and we'll get you right on if we can. So do keep that in mind. 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254, and join us. We always love to hear what you have to say as well. I have a couple more tunes from Sputnik Weasel coming up a little later on in the program, just kind of trying those out to see. I do want to encourage everybody, all of our friends up in the Chicago area, you know, they're having what they call the showdown in Chicago coming up on the 25th of October, 25th, 26th, and 27th, my birthday, actually. I'm a Scorpio. And anyway, they're going to be having this showdown in Chicago, the same financial institutions that caused the economic crisis and took billions in taxpayer bailouts are back to earning incredible profits. Meanwhile, Americans face shrinking pensions, rising foreclosures and unemployment, state budget cuts, predatory lending, outrageous overdraft fees, and sky-high credit card interest rates. Well, the American people want some oversight, and they're having this big banking meeting in Chicago on those 3 days. And we're trying to get a bunch of people to go and let them know we're not going to take it anymore. That we are, in fact, mad as hell and not going to take it anymore for the, from the banks. Huh? So show up for that. I hope it's going to be a big deal. I hope it's going to be a big deal. It's the 25th, 26th, and 27th in downtown Chicago, and the American people versus the Wall Street banks. It's called the Showdown in Chicago, and I hope a lot of people show up for that. And I know you've all heard, and I did get an email just a few minutes ago that says the U.S. to order steep pay cuts at firms that got the most aid, the banks that got the most aid. And this fury that's growing because of the huge paychecks, the billions of dollars in reserves that these people have put aside for bonuses to themselves, the fat cats and all that. The Obama administration is going to pare those back some, or force the banks to pare them back if they got bailout funds. Well, you know how that works. I think we gave you an example of it yesterday, that Geithner had talked somebody into foregoing his $1.9 million salary for the year. I forget which company it was. One of the big groups. Because at the end of the year, he was leaving with like a $65 or $85 million package. You know how that works. So the fact that the Obama administration is telling these people that they're going to have to pare back their bonuses, they will find a way to pay every dollar of those bonuses. You know they will. Because you know if it comes down to a fight between the banks and the Obama administration, or any administration, you know who will win that fight. Do we not? Of course. So they will find a way to funnel all that money to those guys one way or another. They will get it. Things are looking up on Wall Street. Things are looking very good on Wall Street. The Dow is up over 10,000. It was before the show anyway. I know oil went up to about 81 bucks a barrel today. So, and, the dollar went to, I think something like a low, the lowest point since last year because of the oil and because of the threats that a lot of people are going to devalue the dollar. And that's going to cause a lot of problems for the country. The Chinese, they hate to see the dollar devalued the way it is, so they're going to be more careful about lending money to us. It's going to cause some huge ramifications around the country. And yes, Johnny O, says something, that's absolutely right. If you go to Chicago, don't act like those frickin' teabaggers did when they were out and around. Be civil, dress well. You know how they always accuse us of being a bunch of hippies. Comb your hair, take a bath, wear nice clothes, and be peaceful, and have respectful signs. Don't behave like a teabagger. Good idea, Johnny. Oh, good thing. Thanks for mentioning that. But I'm talking about Wall Street there and how they're paying out these big bonuses and these big salaries, and everything's well now. The banks are healthy. Oh, gee, they're really healthy again, and things are going along so well. Not going along good for you and I, is it? Whatever Wall Street's got to do, the Wall Street being up to 10,000, what's that got to do on Main Street? Foreclosures. The worst 3 months of all time. The same week the Dow goes to 10,000, foreclosures. The worst 3 months of all time. Despite signs of broader economic recovery, the number of foreclosure filings hit a record high in the third quarter. And that's a sign not only that things are not getting better, but it's a sign that things are getting worse. And we've heard all this news, and again, our media, our woeful media that we have, and I will agree with a lot of the right-wingers when they talk about the media and how inept it is. It is. Oh, it is. It is, for a fact, really bad. I mean, we were riveted for how much time? I wasn't, but last week, this phony baloney balloon deal. I mean, I know it's news, and I know it's interesting, a kid in a balloon, you know, they thought it was in the balloon, and he was going, you know, 6-year-old and all that, and it was quite a story. But We had people die in Iraq and Afghanistan the same day. The media just goes, you know, the old story, if it bleeds, it leads. That's how it goes. Yeah, really, really and true. That is the story in the newsrooms. That is the saying, if it bleeds, it leads. But here we have Wall Street gone over 10,000 and the media making a big deal out of it, man, really beating those drums. Oh, hey, happy days are here again. Oh, yeah, things are great. The Dow's over 10,000. The sun is out. The flowers are blooming and everything is right with America again. Well, not so fast. The same day that that came out, that 10,000 is the same day this report came out, the worst 3 months of all time in foreclosures. Foreclosures are growing. There are predictions out now that real estate values will drop another 11% next year. How many more people is that going to turn upside down? Tremendous number. And there are many of these mortgages, all of a sudden it escapes me, the ARMs, adjustable rate mortgages, many of those ready to recycle now and go to a much higher interest rate. And, of course, the credit card fees going higher and higher. So I don't want to be the purveyor of bad news. I don't want to be doom and gloom every day, but I do like to call it like I see it. And anybody who thinks that this crisis is over or getting better, I don't see any signs whatsoever of it getting better. None. We may have gasoline. In fact, we have gasoline heading back up right now. I know around here it's gone up about 20 cents in the last 3 weeks. The idea that this crisis is over or it's getting better is pure folly. It is not. We have millions of people unemployed. We have millions of people underemployed. We have millions of people who have lost everything they have. Millions of people who are losing their homes. It is not over. Not by a long shot is not over. So let's not all sit back and get comfy over all this, because we're still facing a crisis in this country. Absolutely. And the media can crow all they want to about Wall Street and 10,000, and that doesn't mean a damn thing to most people in this country. Doesn't mean squat. During the last 3 months, 937,840 homes foreclosures, almost a million. Default notices, auction notice, bank repossession. That means one out of every 136 U.S. homes were in foreclosure. Imagine that. That's a 5% increase from the second quarter and a 23% jump over the third quarter of 2008. You know, we talked about this last year, how bad it was in 2008, the last quarter. Oh, my God. And we find out that this third quarter is 23% worse than the third quarter of last year. No sign that things are getting better. Of course, Nevada continued to be the worst hit state. I find this number just flabbergasting. One filing for every 23 houses. Imagine that. One filing out of every 23 households. Vermont, they have jumped their number of foreclosures, but still, they've only got one filing for every 5,023 households in the state. That's the best rate in the country. But even theirs went up. So, I don't know where that's going to go. And the story I read today about properties going back down another 11%, being devalued another 11% is... that's serious bad news, and it's particularly bad news around here where property values, for the most part, have gone down 50%. I doubt you'd get anybody to disagree with that statement. Going to, hey, I do want to say one thing. You know, when the Norm Coleman, Al Franken thing was going on, I made a statement one day, and no one commented about it, and I'm glad. But I made a statement one day that I hoped Al Franken won, but I had my doubts as how good of a senator Al Franken would be. I take that back, and not just because of what I'm about to play, but I take it back from all I've kept track of about Al Franken since he's been sworn in as a United States Senator. Al Franken is doing a great job. He's putting in his hours. He's getting the elbow grease going. Al Franken is a serious senator and doing a wonderful job in the United States Senate. He was talking yesterday about health care with one of the hot shots from one of the big foundations, right-wing foundations in Washington, D.C., who came before the hearing to defend the health care folks. And Al, I'd say, well, listen for yourself.
Dr. Roth, I think we disagree on whether the health care reform that we're talking about now in Congress should pass. And you said that kind of the way we're going will increase bankruptcies. I want to ask you how many bankruptcies because of medical crises were there last year in Switzerland?
I don't have that number in front of me, but I could find out.
And I can tell you how many it was.
Get back to you.
It's zero. Do you know how many medical bankruptcies there were last year in France?
I don't have that number, but I can get back to you if you like.
Yeah, the number is zero. Do you know how many were in Germany?
From the trend of your questions, I'm assuming the answer is zero, but I don't know the precise amount, and I would have to get back to you.
Well, you're very good. You're very fast. The point is that I think we need to go in that direction, not in the opposite direction. Thank you.
Do you know the cancer survival rates in those countries?
You know, you've picked on one, and if you look at that study, did you know that we pick easily, much more easily survivable cancer rates. So if you want to start getting into digging deep in the studies, that study isn't legitimate. I've heard that before. That's because we find easily survivable cancers to count as ones that we survive. So if you want to, you know, you can cherry pick stuff to find one little place where somebody says our system works better than the French or the Germans, but we're talking about bankruptcy here today. And the fact of the matter is, you're saying that if we go more to a French system or a Swiss system, then we'll have increased bankruptcies, but the fact is they don't have bankruptcies, and we do from medical care. Thank you.
Thank you. maybe somewhere down the road away. At the end of the line, you think of me and wonder where I am these days. At the end of the line, maybe somewhere down the road when somebody plays.
It's all right. Thank you. Thank you, Al Franken. Thank you for having some balls, finally. Thank you for being a Democrat that stands up and says what he thinks and puts it to him. Thank you, Al Franken. And I do take back that comment I said about Al Franken. He's doing a wonderful job in, I think it was Sophie said on the chat room, wonder how long it'll be until they shove Al over into the back room with Feingold and Kucinich and the rest of the people that dare challenge anyone. Isn't that the case? Isn't that the truth? It certainly is. You know, the people that do mean it, the people that get out front and talk facts and dispense with the bullshit and tell people what the honest-to-God truth is and the way things ought to be, they do get shoved into the back room. You're absolutely right, Sophie. That's right. Absolutely right. And then they proceed to pull the wool over the eyes of the American public once again. And, you know, we've got that mentality that I've been talking about. I think I mentioned it as a hillbilly with bib overalls with a, you know, a plug of chewing tobacco in his mouth going out with no health care and diabetes and obese, talking about how we don't need no damn health care. And they've got him convinced of that. And it's that peasant attitude, a peasant mentality. You think about it, you know why you watch them, all the movies with the peasants in them. You know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about peasants. Not pheasants, peasants. You know you're a peasant when you absolutely worship the very people who are right now, this very minute, conning you and taking your stuff. There is that attitude. There is that mentality. Whatever the master does, you're on board. And when you get upset and you open your mouth, he sticks a great big cross in the middle of your village and you spend the rest of your life praying to it with big googly eyes. Yes, master. Or he puts out newspapers full of innuendo about this or that faraway group and you immediately salute and rush off to join the hate squad. Boy, am I talking about rank and file Republicans here or not? I mean, a good peasant is loyal. He's simple-minded, check, and full of misdirected anger, check. And that's what we've got now. We've got a lot of misdirected anger, and it's searching around for a non-target to mispunish. Think about some of the people you know and the defense they put up over some of these companies I'm talking about. Oh, you can't be mad at AIG. You can't be mad at Citi or Goldman Sachs. The real villains have to be the anti-AIG protesters. After all, those people earned those bonuses. If ever there was a textbook case of peasant thinking, it's struggling middle-class Americans burned up in defense of taxpayer-funded bonuses to millionaires. It's crazy stuff. And it's bound to get crazier. And it will, as this crisis gets worse and more complicated. I have to think there's a day of reckoning coming. I hope there is, but I don't hold out a lot of hope. But I would hope that the day people come to realize how much money has been stolen from them, and we gave you some examples of that yesterday, and be assured that day of reckoning is coming. And when it comes, history's going to look back on this cartel of bankers right now the same way that the modern world looks back at Nazi Germany. And I'm not comparing one to the other. I'm just saying that they're going to look back the same way they look at the Nazis now. Their greed has inflicted immense human suffering the world over, and their greed has brought humanity to an absolute breaking point, and there are still people out there who defend them. I know a guy who is a small businessman. Let me, and I'm not going to mention his name because it would give it away, and I'm not even going to say what kind of a business because it would give it away to some of the locals here listening. But I know a guy that is in as hard a defense of these people, these bankers and these right-wingers. Anything that Limbaugh and Hannity and Beck and all of them say is absolutely right. And anything that George Bush did was absolutely right. And anything these bankers do is capitalism, man. It's capitalism. Let capitalism be free. Let the free market roam and do what it'll do. He'll give you that speech every day. He's filing for bankruptcy right now. He filed for bankruptcy a month ago. Because his business has gone completely to hell. Because people don't have money to spend on the products he sells anymore. But to this day, he will stand and defend the bankers and this run amok capitalism banking that we've had over the last couple of years. You talk about a peasant mentality, man. There is the poster boy for it. And I'm sorry, if he's listening, he'll know exactly who I'm talking about. And some other people that know him will know exactly who I'm talking about. But it's disgusting for me to get in a conversation with somebody like that and say, well, you're anti-capitalist. You're a socialist. You're this, you're that. And you know, I'll defend the right for people to make millions of dollars as CEOs. They've earned it. They should get it. And the bonuses, it's okay with me. Truly, this man has said all this to me and more. What do you say? That's what I mean about the dumbing down of America. The guy can read. He reads Limbaugh and Hannity and Beck books all day long. I know several cases like that. Stop the socialism. Obama's ruining the country. Never mind about those bankers on Wall Street. We need them. They're good for the country. They've done something good. I know they've done something good. Not sure what it is right now, but there's something. Uh-huh. Hey, listen to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. We're going to pause for news coming up at the top of the hour. And we'll be back afterwards with more, and we'll take your phone calls then as well. You're listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. It's the best there is, man.
listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. FedEx could be facing litigation from three states for alleged labor violations. Jesse Russell reports.
The attorneys general of Montana, New Jersey, and New York are planning a joint lawsuit against package delivery corporation FedEx for alleged labor law violations. At issue is the company's hiring of drivers and classifying them as independent contractors instead of employees. By calling the drivers independent contractors, FedEx avoids providing workers' compensation, and the employees are not covered under state labor laws. In a statement, New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo said the misclassification denies the drivers employment rights they are guaranteed by law. The company has until October 27th to justify why a lawsuit should not be filed. In 2007, the Internal Revenue Service declared that FedEx ground workers are in fact employees. The company was hit with a $319 million fine that year. Earlier this year, attorneys general in New Jersey and seven other states sent a letter to FedEx warning the company they were concerned about the classification practices. More than 45 class action lawsuits have been filed in state and federal courts regarding this issue.
Labor Day, a new documentary film about SEIU's role in the 2008 presidential campaign, focuses on workers' efforts to elect Barack Obama. Filmmaker Glenn Silber.
There was something happening in the country that I wanted to capture, and I found it what I thought was a great, inspiring story in the role of these regular working folks working with their union to go out and try to mobilize themselves and make sure we run the swing states this time to take back their government.
Silber features SEIU workers in the film campaigning for change they could believe in while struggling with job loss, home foreclosures, and loss of health care.
These are profound issues that are going on all over the country, and we don't really see them in that kind of up-close and personal way as often as maybe we should be seeing them. They're still there. They're still waiting. They still want to see that change. I think it's time for everyone to join together now and unify and help speak out so that, you know, our leaders get the message.
Glenn Silber's Labor Day has its world premiere in Madison, Wisconsin, October 28th.
Here's today's economic report. According to the Centers for Disease Control, the H1N1 virus is most likely to send those under 25 to the hospital. The new study found that 53% of hospitalization cases were for people 24 or younger, 39% for people between 25 and 64, and only 7% for those over 65. The percentage of deaths among those who are 24 or younger was 24%, and 12% for those over 65.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life, you hear me? Give my creation life.
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
I have questions before we proceed.
Good countdown. Six. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you took the opportunity to do what you have to do during the news. Maybe listen to the news and get yourself a cold drink. People on the chat room, I tell you, they have no feelings sometimes. They have no sense of sensitivities towards those of us sitting in a chair in a studio. We had Sophie talking about ice cream sundaes, and then Johnny O brought up key lime pie. And somebody asked what key lime pie was. Oh, I'll tell you what, I make a mean key lime pie cheesecake. I do. I love key lime pie, and I love key lime cheesecake. If you never had it, you need to try it. Oh, key lime ice cream. Oh, that sounds good. Yes, it does. Somebody asked, how are things going down here in Southwest Florida? Not well. We've got 14.8% unemployment in Lee County, Florida. Yes, 14.8. We have 80-year-old people rounding up grocery carts at the public supermarkets. Thank God they can even get those jobs. Kids out of high school finding no jobs. And, of course, that's the same all over the country. If you're in high school, you can't find a job. A recent college grad, you can't find a job. It's that way all over, and it's not getting any better in the foreseeable future. We've got 10,000 on the Dow, and we've got a jobless recovery, as they say. People on Wall Street are recovering. I would like to remind you, I dug up some quotes, and I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of them, but I dug up some quotes. You know, we've got the confirmation of Ben Bernanke going on again here, and I don't think there's anybody more important to the government right now. And I know a lot of people think that Bernanke is doing a good job. Well, I don't know how to put this, but I wouldn't hire the guy that robbed a bank. You know, if I owned a bank and some guy robbed it, and he came in looking for a job, I don't think I'd hire him. And that's kind of the way I see this with Ben Bernanke. Let me give you a couple of quotes from Ben Bernanke. 2 years ago last week, okay? 2 years ago last week, Ben Bernanke said the banking system is healthy. Now, there were all kinds of signs to people on Wall Street that it was not healthy. They knew that they were leveraged to the brink of catastrophic losses. They knew that. They knew that. 2 years ago, Bernanke said that. And 2 years ago last week, Bernanke said this. And this one really grabs me. It is not the responsibility of the Federal Reserve, nor would it be appropriate, to protect lenders and investors from the consequences of their financial decisions. Ben Bernanke. This is a guy that you want as the head of the Fed. Let me repeat that. It is not the responsibility of the Federal Reserve, nor would it be appropriate, to protect lenders and investors from the consequences of their financial decisions. Ben Bernanke, 2 years ago last week. Wow. And they're thinking about putting him back in there again. I think there ought to be some sort of a 5-year moratorium that you can't go from Wall Street to a federal job. I do not like the fact that these guys are coming in straight out of Goldman Sachs and all that and feeding their brethren billions of dollars. I don't like it. It smells. It does absolutely smell. There's so many things that they look past. You know, the Glass-Steagall Act. And as I remembered, it was to ensure that only depository institutions benefited from explicit government guarantees. And progressive and transparent capital requirements, such as leverage ratio, increasing with the total asset size. And it had mandatory levels of convertible debt, which would convert into equity as the bank's equity price is falling. And we ought to be having derivatives reform. No one's talking about derivatives reform. Hell, half of the people in politics don't even know what derivatives are. Three quarters of the nation doesn't know what derivatives are. And there's been no talk of reform of them, including some sort of a mandatory clearinghouse for them. And I do think there ought to be a five-year cooling-off period before, you know, when you leave Wall Street before you can take a federal job. But I believe that they ought to take the big financial institutions and split banks and investment houses again, split them up, and give the SEC the regulatory power to oversee derivatives and see that they use it this time around instead of completely ignoring it. And as for any sort of compensation reform, I think these companies should pay what the market will allow. However, I would like to see a tax on a corporate payroll, and you can call it what you want. Call it a stupid money tax, if you will. If they're going to throw idiot amounts of money at executives, put a monster tax on it. Put a huge tax on executive compensation that exceeds a certain multiple of non-managerial employee compensation. Something like, you know, if it goes over 100 to 1, a lot of these people are getting 500 to 1. It's crazy. But they ought to limit bank sizes. And it should be done because of concerns for competition and consumer choice. And this gets back to actual banks, not investment houses like Lehman and Bear Stearns. Best thing they could do would be to reinstate the Glass-Steagall Act and ban all taxpayer bailouts and Fed bailouts of any investment banks and derivatives and CDs, etc. These people ought to fund their own bailouts. And then they ought to mandate capital requirements for all these people. They ought to have capital requirements, and they ought to lower these leverage numbers. Instead of 30 to 1, take it back down to a reasonable level like 7, 8, 9, 10 to 1, but now it's like 30 to 1. Crazy what they do. Absolutely crazy. 866-546-5254, if you'd like to join us here on the program, we'd love to hear from you. 866-546-5254. Love that quote Harry Reid made yesterday. We're leaning toward talking about a public option. Leaning toward talking about a public option. And speaking about healthcare, I did want to thank Texas Betsy for sending this along. The parents of a two-year-old girl in Colorado are unable to attain health insurance for their daughter because the insurer, United Healthcare Golden Rule, claims she is too small. In a letter sent to the family of the child, Aislinn Bates, United Healthcare Golden Rule writes, "We are unable to provide coverage for Aislinn because her height and weight do not meet our company standards." Makes you wonder what United Healthcare's golden rule is. Something or other about doing to others? No. I don't think that's it, do you? God. No conscience. No conscience at all. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a minute.
Drive me to the water. Tie me to a stone. In the water, 'cause we all done wrong. drop me in the water. Cause we all done wrong. Yeah, we all done grown.
The truth. Spidey Weasel's done and grown. I like his work. Let me know if you do. I'd like to hear from you. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. David Vitter making the news, or rather trying not to make the news. I found it reprehensible, and so did many people across the country. This controversy surrounding Louisiana's Keith Bardwell generated national attention, and with good reason. He's a justice of the peace. Bardwell refuses to perform marriage ceremonies for interracial couples. I'm not a racist, he argues, as a defense. I just don't believe in mixing the races that way. As soon as the story went national, Senator Mary Landrieu condemned Bardwell's practices and called on him to resign, and Governor Bobby Jindal did the same thing. It was a no-brainer. But then there was that other statewide Louisianan whose silence has been conspicuous. As of Monday, David Vitter, a far-right Republican, has issued no statement. And actually, he has refused to make a statement. Odd, don't you think? I'm not sure, but what, we have somebody on the line here. Oh, we missed a call. If you called, call us back. Let's see if we have a call here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Well, good afternoon, Guy.
Good afternoon.
This would be David from Maine.
Hi, David. How are things up up in your territory?
Things are doing all right. Getting around winter time around here, or fall time rather. Sometimes you can't tell the difference.
You had any snow yet?
No snow yet. We almost got it. I was just listening to you talk about the disappointments of America since you've been back on the air. And yeah, there is a lot of disappointment, but you know, I always look at it in contrast to other countries, and I can say this for sure, certain, Guy, at least we're not the Congo.
Yeah.
Yet.
That's right. we're ahead of the Congo and Somalia.
Yeah, there you go. We're ahead of Congo and the Somalia. You know, I was thinking about, I don't know if you caught what I was saying to Bob last night, but we got into a discussion about Jody Evans at Code Pink meeting Obama at a fundraiser. I don't know if you heard the story or not.
No.
Well, it wouldn't be covered on the news, and we know why. Don't we? Apparently, someone paid $30,000 for Code Pink to go to an Obama fundraiser. Jody decided to approach Obama and ask him some very poignant questions, and it was very revealing what Obama had to say. And she asked why, and this gives you a little glimpse into why so many people have no clue about the issues that they're talking about, need to start opening their books. And she asked him, she said, why do the women not have a role in the political process in Afghanistan? And Obama looked at her and said, well, what do you mean? I have Hillary Clinton on my team. And she said, and this is the zinger guy. She said, no, I'm talking about the Afghani women. And Obama's answer was crickets and then, oh.
Yeah, I would, if I were the president and just gave that answer to that question, I would be thinking, oh, hell, how can I get out of the room?
But, you know, that's where we have to, you know, as citizens of this country, not political affiliations, but we should give people a opportunity that, guess what? It's time for research and homework. I don't care if you're the president. Now it's time to know about some of these issues. It's time to listen to people like Andrew Bacevich and Jeremy Scahill, and listen to them in abundance and get rid of some of the hawks that you're listening to, because, you know. Oh, and the closing line. Oh, I forgot to tell you the closing line. He said, "Listen, we're not getting out of Afghanistan anytime soon."
Oh, that's good news. Not that we didn't
you see, this
expect
is,
that.
I know, we expect it, but this is the problem. I mean, the fact that we hear that in a private fundraiser, and he's that blunt to this woman, I was surprised that they didn't drag her out. She had her code pink shirt on and everything with her Afghanistan protest slogans. For some reason, they were sleeping on the job on that one, and they let her through the door. And I guess Obama had no idea. This kind of tells you something, though. He had no idea that this woman was from Code Pink. I don't think he probably. I'm guessing he may not be that aware of how Code Pink gets down, so to speak.
Wow, it's hard to believe anybody inside the Beltway wouldn't know about Code Pink.
Well, you know, I think the thing was, is it was so bold, the fact that they paid $30,000, they thought that they were probably, you know, paupers and they couldn't afford the tickets. Well, somebody ponied up the money and away they went inside this fundraiser that they weren't supposed to be.
Good for them.
Funny that the media never covered it, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my.
Yeah. You know, when we look at a situation like Afghanistan, and when we look at all the problems in this country that we face, it all ties together. And the fact that we can't discuss it openly should tell us something of a great deal. And I'll tell you something else, Guy. Since you were gone, I'm sure you were aware of the Balloon Boy saga. But you know what's interesting? What's interesting about this story is not the story itself, is the fact that two hoaxes back to back are what made the news. The Yes Men. They literally got behind a story that they were thought was so outlandish, and then it turned out to be a hoax. And then the Balloon Boy, the same thing. That's what it takes to get into the media now. Hoaxes.
All right. Yeah, you're exactly right. You get a good hoax going, and you can get right on there. And they got what, 2 hours coverage out of that story at least.
And it makes you wonder. Should we be hoaxing the media, too? Because, I'll tell you what, the media is hoaxing us anyways, aren't they?
Yeah. Every day. Every single day. I'm disgusted with the media.
Before I go, I just wanted to say I've started fundraising money exclusively for the Horn. So,
oh, good. Thank you.
And I want to give people the opportunity. I don't know. Here's my idea. I want to make some sellers out of people on eBay. And it's really simple. I want people to find a niche in their area of where they can target a demographic and be able to make at least 50 to 100 a week for the Horn. And I'm giving them my Gmail, which is hornauction@gmail.com. And if people need any help and you've always wondered how to get started in this, I guess I'm the kind of person to ask. I'm an intermediate type seller. I'm not a power seller, but I do have my power seller badge and I am a top rated seller. But I do know something about how to get into a market and how to start your, and I'll tell you what, Guy, we could literally fund the Horn, in a snap, if I had at least 10 to 20 people following me, and all we would require is 50 to 100, you guys keep the rest of the profits. whatever it is you sell. And if you need help in it, here's the thing to think about, Guy, is the fact that the money, let's be realistic and honest. The money that people have right now, it's good that you're contributing, but eventually that is going to run out. So what you need to focus on is investing, and we need to open this door, Guy. It needs to be opened, and that's why I'm kicking the door down. We need to start fundraising. So I've started fundraising. I pledged myself, I think, my goal is to do at least 50 to 100 just like everyone else every week.
Hmm.
And that's what I'm doing. And I just started contributing. I've picked out some items that I've locked on that are going to be in particular for the horn to raise funds. And I want people to take my lead and see what I'm doing. And if you have any questions, again, reach me at hornauction@gmail.com. And I want people to understand that you can do this. I can show you how. I can show you how to avoid the pitfalls. And I know how much time you can put into it. And I know exactly how you can brand yourself and just get out there on the marketplace where you'll be surprised how much you could be fundraising.
Hmm. All right. I hope people will get in touch with you over it.
Well, I've already had some people contact me, Guy. I'm looking for my main goal for October, and here's the thing that I want people to understand. I know you probably heard me on Bob's show say this, but the reason why I'm doing this is strategic because we're about to hit the Christmas rush point. The Christmas rush point, we could raise a lot of money, people. And when I mean a lot of money, I don't have a number on it because that's how good it could be.
Hmm.
All you have to do is sell something that is a low-cost type of item. Be very measured with your integrity and have the proper seller's etiquette. And you, too, can be a fundraiser. And it's not that hard, Guy, and this is why I'm telling people I'm challenging them. I want at least 10. I would be so thrilled with 20 people following me. I don't even require that. You're not going to take that many hours with the way I think we can set this up. Again, 50 to 100, it's easy. The first 4 weeks are going to be, a trial for you to get a sale. But once that starts rolling, you're going to be surprised. And the reason why I'm doing this, Guy, is because when hard times come across for the horn, we'll have that reserve built up in the back. And you guys can kick back a little on two legs of the chair instead of be on all four.
Basically. Oh yeah. Well, we know all about that. We do. Hey, give us that link again.
The name is hornauction@gmail.com. And Guy, I want to specifically tell people that if you are interested in selling, I get back to you really fast with a response. If you don't have the resources to do that, don't worry. But we're gonna find a way, people, for you. We're gonna find a way for you, listening, you, who says, I don't got the resources to fundraise. We're gonna find a way. Oh, we're gonna find a way if you have that time on your hands. Cause all we need, Guy, and this is a good strategy, and this is the first tier of what I consider the new fundraising phase. See, I want people to understand, this is just the beginning of fundraising. This is just one. So that's what I mean by we can basically pay for your on locations and remotes if we all work together like this and beyond. I don't know how much. It's a floating question mark how much we could raise. And that's the great thing. But I wanted to open the door to fundraising because I think it's time. We've tried to get people interested and to contribute, but we keep barely missing the mark, and now it's time, Guy. It's time to kick down the door, and don't take any names and just start kicking ass when it comes to getting rid of this debt.
Well, hopefully we will. Thank you for your help with us. And
not a problem, Guy. And I just want people to understand, I'm challenging people out there, all people. I want you ready for the Christmas rush. We can get you up and running, and you can sell something that you never, ever thought of selling before, and you will be helping keep something alive. You will be helping keeping something, sustain something physically just by your efforts. And at the same time, who knows, you could even have yourself a side business that you would never imagine. Just by getting involved and also with the trial and error that I've taken on eBay, I know different steps and different routes that will save you money, be costly, a strategy, how to get traffic, on and on and on. I will show you, literally, steps on where you can have those, where you can have that traffic and that sales and provide an income for the horn that is much needed. And I think that is a admirable thing, and it's a decent thing to do. And if you and you know what, guy, it's way past time.
Yeah, it is. We've waited too long. Well, we've been trying for a long time, but we haven't found a way.
I know, and that's why that's why fundraising, everyone does it, but. It's the 21st century. We can fundraise in so many different ways we've never imagined.
Hornauction@gmail.com. Right?
Hornauction@gmail.com. And I thank you for taking my call. I know you're not supposed to say that on the air, but I like ticking people off by doing that who are listening.
Thanks.
I'm a troublemaker, guy.
Good to hear from you.
All right, later.
All right. Thank you, David, for the call. Good to hear from you. I like that idea. Yes, we do need to get in high gear here with fundraising soon. I know Bob's mentioned it. I've mentioned it. We are that frog in the boiling water right now, and we hope we can get some contributions. If we don't, soon, why... Let's answer the phone again. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy. This is Juanita.
Hello, Juanita.
So the thing is, we're going to learn Russian?
Yeah.
And say hi to Obama?
That's right. I've been practicing.
Well, what about the verified... 11 million soldiers and 66.7 million civilians that the Russians lost during World War II.
Well, they,
what do they think?
Yeah, they got it worse than anybody.
And they're, I mean,
yeah.
Isn't it crazy?
It is. It is.
It's like, it's socialism and it's communism and it's, fascism, and it's Hitler, and it's Mao, and it's, I don't know what all I've heard. But
oh,
those
yes.
people are something else.
Oh, they are. You know, they hear some shtick from a Beck or a Hannity or somebody, and they just go out and repeat it. And I think it's so bad to go out and repeat things, and you don't know what it means. I don't know why people do that.
Like you said, they probably don't know what socialism is.
Right. They don't.
And, but you know what's sad, Guy, is that a lot of it is in, from church.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I know.
When Gore was running for president, I had a girlfriend I went to school with that we just see each other every now and then, and we started communicating by email. She sent me a long list of these horrible things that Gore had done that she had gotten from someone in church, and one of them was when he said his mother sang "Look for the Union Label."
Oh yeah, I remember that.
When he was a baby, and I just answered each one of them, and I didn't hear back from her anymore. But I said, you know, that was a joke.
Well, they don't.
You
get
heard
it.
About the? Yeah. And he invented the internet. These were like things to make you think not to vote for somebody. That's crazy.
Yeah, and so many of them were so, as you probably found out, so many of them, the allegations were so easy to disprove. All you had to do was do a little bit of thought and a little bit of research, and you could find out the truth on
that.
But most people don't want to do that.
I know it. It's very frustrating, but you have to learn the hard way that there's people that their mind is set one way, and that's it.
Unfortunately.
And they'll listen to anything that agrees with what they're saying, they're thinking, or not thinking. You heard about Bush's latest job?
No.
Him and Laura?
No.
Motivational speakers.
I'm afraid that wouldn't work for me.
Well,
I don't know how motivated I could get listening to him.
They're going to be with Terry Bradshaw.
Oh.
Robert Shuler.
Really?
And, of course, you know who Zig Ziglar is. He's the main one behind it.
Wow.
I forget who the other people are. And I never will forget, I heard Zig Ziglar on C-SPAN. He had written a book. This was when Bush was in office. And he was just going on and on about how wonderful Bush was. And they said, somebody called in and said, well, what about the way he talks? Said, you're a motivational speaker. He said, oh, I just think it's charming.
Oh, charming.
And then he said, somebody said something about Clinton, and he said what he did was unpardonable. I remember the exact word, unpardonable.
Unpardonable.
So, you know, but anyway, I just thought I'd put my little 2 cents worth in about the Russians.
Yeah,
nobody realized.
Russian. I got to get one of those hats, too, you know, one of those Russian hats that with a wool around the top and the hammer and the sickle on the front. I don't want to be left out. I need one of those. And those boots. We need to get some
and
of those boots.
And start learning it. Golly.
I don't know any words. I'm going to have to learn. I don't think I know any at all.
I know yet.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, there you go. I know that one.
I know yet.
Yeah. Hey, Anita, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling.
You too, and I'm glad to have you back.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh,
Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network, the best damn network in the country for if you want to hear liberal progressive talk. You got it right here. Bob Kincaid. Oh, Bob Kincaid and I tell you what. Bob and I are invading Washington next week. A week from tomorrow, we're going to go, and then we're going to do a conference that's there, a conference called Making It in America, Building the New Economy. And it's being put on by the Institute for America's Future. And we hope you'll help us out with some of the expenses there. They're paying for travel expenses and stuff, but we need to have some help with some of it. And if you can afford to help, send two nice young men like Bob and I to Washington. Why, we would appreciate it very much. And you can do that at the Head On Radio Network site and at the GuyJamesShow.com site as well. We're going to have some interesting people there. Of course, Robert Borisage, the head of the Institute for America's Future, is going to be there. Harold Meyerson, columnist. Let me see who else is going to be here. Representative Earl Blumenauer. Let's see. Richard Trumka, the new president of AFL-CIO. Jim Webb, Democrat of Virginia. Sherrod Brown. James Clyburn is going to be there as well. We're going to have some interesting Governor Ed Rendell is going to be there. And Representative Rosa DeLauro, Democrat from Connecticut. So we're going to have a great group, and we're going to be covering the entire thing all day long. Bob and I, it starts at 9:30 in the morning next Thursday morning. And we're going to roll into town Wednesday afternoon sometime. Washington, D.C., where are you two going to be eating, Guy? Well, we might stop by that all-you-can-eat beef place. we might. Oh, yeah, we might. We do have a lot of fun there. I want to tell you, I am lucky to have a relationship with Bob. Bob is a friend. Bob is a colleague. And Bob's a hell of a guy. I just tell you, he is. To know him is to love him. That's the truth. Bob is just one fine guy. He's just full of all these local. As you know, you listen to his show all the time. I don't know how he's remembered and stacked up all these local Southern colloquialisms over the years, but he's got a million of them, and he likes to pull them out. But the only trouble with Bob is when we go to Washington, D.C., Bob, I mean, I like to walk, don't get me wrong, but that guy walks like, you know, 8 miles an hour, and I'm like three. It's just, it's tough to keep up with him. Boy, does he go. He's a lot younger than me. He doesn't understand. I've talked to him about it. But anyway, we are looking forward to that, and we will have a good time. And the health care thing will still be going on there. And, you know, and it gets me when I hear him talking about health care reform. This isn't reform. It really isn't reform. You wait. It's not reform. This is merely an early Christmas present to the insurance companies. And once again, you and I have been sold downriver by our elected representatives. If anything else comes out of it other than that, I'm going to be shocked. I'll drop dead. You know, are we the people going to take this lying down? The answer to that question is, yeah, sure. We're going to take it. Home of the brave. Come on. And, you know, incredibly, the Democrats are still contently walking around under some sort of a delusion that they remain the party of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And really, their behavior this week has been shameful. It's another reminder that the party's just becoming pathetic, and it needs to become completely overhauled. Need to give that donkey a good spanking, I think. But, you know, were you aware of the fact that in countries like England and France and Canada, people over the age of 65 are advised not to vacation in the United States? I've talked to them. They've been advised not to vacation in the United States because if they get sick or injured over here, it could cost them everything they own. And that's a nasty little reality of the America of the first decade of the 21st century. Don't believe the conservatives when they try to make you believe that they hate our guts over there. Europe does not hate America. They love the contributions that we've made to the rest of the world. And let's face facts here. How dreary would this poor old planet be without the good old rock and roll and James Dean and Billie Holiday? They really do love America and the American people. It's our government they can't stand. And they hate our government almost as much as the conservatives do. I know people from France come here to visit, lovely people. And they don't call what we have here health care. They call it hell care. And they'll tell you, in short, in the U.S. you pay more, you get less, and you die younger than they do in Europe. Now, I just ask you, what part of that don't you understand? Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy.
Yes.
CLO told me to give you a call. I'm giving you a call about some pacemaker issues. You were talking about the health care reform stuff?
Yes.
The one that called Bob Kincaid's show about a month ago. Well, actually, I guess about 2 months ago. In August, about the pacemaker issues.
Mm-hmm.
And not being able to get my new pacemaker.
Yeah.
I was just at my electrophysiologist yesterday.
That's a mouthful.
It is.
Electrophysiologist.
Who seems to think he is a cardiologist on top of it, because he proceeded to tell me my cardiologist erred in his diagnosis that my lead wires on my pacemaker are failing and causing a problem with my pacemaker, and refuses to do anything until my pacemaker has less than 1 month battery life left on it.
Oh.
And is actually sending a letter to my insurance company reflecting that. So he's basically going to block any help I may be able to receive. Now, Sophie on the chat room gave me a website to go to last night, God love her. There was an awful lot of conversation in there actually about the pacemaker that I have, which is the Medtronic Kappa. And people that have been told, oh, you have 6 months left on your battery. And 2 weeks later, they're in the emergency room after having passed out because their battery went dead.
Oh, man.
And this is all Medicare issues, and this is all Medicare issues thanks to George Bush, not Obama. These are all Medicare issues that were put into effect in January of this year.
Wow.
Because in 2001, when I had the pacemaker I have now put in, I actually had a year battery life left on that, on the old pacemaker. But because of my underlying health conditions, Medicare approved replacing the pacemaker.
2001.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had the same one since?
I've had the same one since.
And how long does the battery actually last?
7 to 9 years.
Really? I didn't know that. You're giving me an education here. But
yeah, 7 to 9 years. It depends on how often you utilize it. And I utilize mine quite a bit, unfortunately, because I have an average heart rate of my own of 22 beats per minute.
Of what?
22 beats per minute.
22?
Mm-hmm.
All
so
right.
Without the pacemaker, I typically would be functioning on 22 beats a minute.
So what does the pacemaker take it to then?
60.
60, okay. And even that's not real high. The average person's is higher than that, isn't it?
Yeah, usually. It depends. You know, they have different resting and active, criteria. You know, like active, you can go up to 120. Like mine is restricted at 125. My heart rate can't go above 125.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But, you know, I have a complicated pacemaker also. I don't have, you know, they have different types of pacemaker. Mine operates both chambers of my heart. So when you start talking about a lead problem and a lead wire shorting out, well, then now you don't have the two chambers of your heart operating together, and you've got some serious problems.
Well, tell me, why would this electrophysiologist give you this problem? What is his reasoning for this?
The only reason he gave me is this is what I do for a living, so I know better about the pacemakers than the cardiologist. He deals with just the internal functioning of the heart.
Now, if you're talking about a 7 or 8 year battery life in one of these, and you're down to a month, that's a very, very small percentage.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to gamble with that.
Last month, when the pacemaker was checked, I had less than 5 months battery life left. Which, by math, that leaves me less than 4 months. And if my lupus decides to flare and goes after my heart, that less than 4 months can turn into 4 days in a real fast hurry. Because the disease of lupus is the reason I have the pacemaker to start with. The lupus went after my heart and took out the electrical system of my heart. So that's why I have the pacemaker to start with.
Yeah.
So if we end up in another lupus flare, that 4 months can end up in 4 days in a real fast hurry. And this is all stuff that is directly written into the Medicare guidelines. And, you know, he directly told me that. This is the Medicare guidelines, and I, you know, have to run by them. And less than 1 month is when you can have your pacemaker done, and not before.
Wow, I'm learning a lot here.
I think the website that Sophie had sent me to, it's like pacemakerclub.com or something like that. I could probably put it up on the chat room, pull it out of the history. But very interesting stuff. This is a nationwide problem. It's not just something that I'm dealing with. There's a lot of people dealing with this. And a lot of comments about other people that have gone through the same thing. And Medicare paid for their pacemaker replacement because it said, you know, the pacemaker battery said, oh, well, I've got 6 months left on my battery life, and 2 weeks later, they're collapsed and being rushed to the emergency room in an ambulance and having to have a new pacemaker because their battery died.
Well, now, it's a sure thing that you've got to go get it replaced. So if you had to go get it replaced a couple of months early, how much could that be costing them? How much are these batteries?
If I die because I don't get it replaced, it's going to save them a lot of money.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be around to be drawing on Medicare anymore.
I was trying not to think of it that way. Oh.
Well, and quite frankly, this website that I was on last night, they directly said that type of stuff. Well, if they can put you off until, you know, I mean, if I'm here by myself and my battery goes and I pass out, who's going to be here to call and get help for me? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's exactly what these people were saying on that website. It was on that forum. It was, well, you know, if they push you to the point that you can't get help and you die, well, they've just saved themselves a lot of money because it's not just the pacemaker that you're at now, but future pacemakers, they don't have to worry about you anymore.
Boy, now that's harsh. Well,
it might be harsh, but it's true.
It's hard to think that there are people that think that way toward people who need health care.
Well, but, you know, and like I said, there's several people on your chat room that are familiar with my situation. And when I went in yesterday, you know, everyone was like, well, they damn well better be replacing that pacemaker. And this guy, under no circumstances, he doesn't even care what underlying situations you have. If your pacemaker shows more than a month, he will not schedule you for a replacement.
Well,
because he said that's what Medicare guidelines say, and that's what he goes by, period. Well, as long as Medicare requires you to go to what they call an EP, an electrophysiologist, instead of a cardiologist for your pacemaker issues, that's what you're stuck with.
Right. I'm sorry to hear that.
Medicare requires, so...
Well, thanks for letting us know about it. It's good to get all the information we can. It's good for all of us to know these things. We can't do anything about it if we don't know, and we can't complain about it if we don't know. And it's good for you to let us know, and I wish you luck with that. Jesus.
Well, I can tell you, if you or Bob ever need the names of the, you know, EP or whatever involved, you know, I have no problem giving them to you, but...
Okay.
And that website, I mean, the number of people that have the same issues, and not just with the Medtronic Kappa pacemaker, but with defibrillators and everything else, is just unbelievable. Just you know, I have a friend whose husband actually died because he had a defibrillator that the lead wire malfunctioned on. The cardiologist had said it was malfunctioning, but the EP said, no, it's not. It doesn't need replaced. A week after the EP said, no, it's not malfunctioning, it's fine, the man was dead because it fired when it shouldn't have.
Hey, I got to run. We're up against the top of the hour. Thank you for letting us know. Call us back if there are any change in this and any new revelations on it, will you?
Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Oh, my. There's so many terrible health care stories out there. And I'm really tired of hearing that we have the best health care in the world and all that. We have the potential to have it, but we're not utilizing it properly. That's an ugly mess. Boy, that's a bad story right there. That's a bad story. Hey, thanks for listening today. You've been listening to Guy James. I'm being Guy James here on the Guy James Show. I invite you to visit my website, theguyjamesshow.com. And we hope you'll hit the contribution button there and send a few bucks our way so that we can keep the studio running. It does take a little money to keep it going, and we hope you'll keep in mind that we do need to do that if we're going to try and continue to bring you good programming each and every day. Don't forget, too, we'll be heading to Washington next week.